In addition to Scott, we have three other members of the firm here this evening as well, including Jonathan Shakur, Carrie Staten, and Jim Cardia. But right now, I'll pose this question to Scott, and if anyone else wants to join in, feel free to do so. About this plumber arrested for urinating in public and received a death sentence during the ride to the police station. Wow.
Wow is right. This is what's known as a police misconduct case, Frank. And I know there's been a lot of news recently that has been in our local papers about compensation that the city of Baltimore has paid out with respect to these types of cases, police misconduct cases. And this is a death sentence, as you said. And this gentleman was legally and lawfully arrested for public urination in an alley. He was then placed in handcuffs behind his back and placed into a police wagon. And for the listeners, what generally is supposed to happen is the arrestee is placed in this police wagon and is supposed to be properly restrained or seatbelted into the back of this wagon so as to avoid what ultimately happened in this case. And what happened was the allegation was that the driver of the police wagon was driving aggressively and erratically, which culminated in this gentleman being thrown around in the back of the police wagon due to the fact that he was not properly restrained or seatbelted into the wagon. So in this particular case, because of the nature of the driving, which was on top of failure to restrain this gentleman, he was able to be tossed around on the back of the wagon and subsequently sustained a C4-5, that's a cervical fracture and dislocation, which ultimately rendered him a quadriplegic. To make matters worse, after the police officers who were driving the vehicle got out because they heard the noise and the thrashing about in the wagon, they believe that this gentleman was faking his injuries. He was having difficulty breathing, and they failed to take him to a healthcare facility in a timely fashion. And unfortunately, by the time he got into the hands of a board-certified neurosurgeon, it was too little too late, and he was quadriplegic and ultimately succumbed to the complications and sequelae of his quadriparesis. And unfortunately, all of that could have been avoided by simply seatbelting him to the back of the police wagon and driving appropriately, not in a reckless manner. And our firm, in fact, has handled two of these cases, both of which have gone to verdict in the Circuit Court of Baltimore City, both of which were highly successful. And Carrie, to my left here, has been involved in both of those cases, and he perhaps can shed some light.
Well, let me ask Carrie this question. I'm listening right now, and there may be some other listeners out there, too, that are probably saying, well, I thought this is a medical malpractice program or a program about medical malpractice, and we're talking about police misconduct. So how does that fall into medical malpractice, Gary?
Well, of course, Frank, police misconduct doesn't, but the injuries were so devastating and the injustice was so devastating.
No question. I mean,
that
yeah.
we were compelled to become involved. This was a young plumber, 39 years old, who was on his way home from work. This case is very close to me because I actually tried it in court to a $7.4 million verdict for the family. He was publicly urinating on his way home from work. Obviously, it's against the law. Obviously, it's something that many of our citizens do. Needless to say, the law allows for a criminal citation, much like a traffic ticket. He could have gotten a citation and shown up to court and paid the citation. Instead, he was given a death sentence. He was arrested. He was handcuffed with his hands behind his back, and he was placed in a paddy wagon, which is larger than a van. It's a small moving truck with the interior made of hard plexiglass, and he was not belted in. Police regulations mandate the belting of prisoners because of their safety. Imagine, if you will, driving down the streets of Baltimore City and not belting in your child or your loved one or even a casual guest. The law mandates it. Why? Because if your car is suddenly in for 911 for an ambulance, for any kind of paramedic support. They pulled him from the police wagon, dragged him across the parking lot, placed him in the back of their own police cruiser, a regular sedan vehicle, threw him in the back, and drove him to the hospital.
Wow.
When he got there, of course, the doctors diagnosed him with a cervical spine fracture, which was so severe that he had locked facets, meaning that the cervical vertebrae had advanced so far that they couldn't be readjusted with traction even. It took surgery and anesthesia to reduce the fracture. By that time, of course, the spinal cord damage, the neurologic damage, had devastated this gentleman, and it started on Thanksgiving Day, and it ended near Christmas.
Wow. You know, over 50 years of covering news here in the Baltimore area, there seems to have been an inordinate number of people who have been arrested and put into police wagons, not necessarily cruisers, but into police wagons, and have been manhandled in some fashion, or in this particular case, was not strapped down to make sure that he wasn't going to bounce all over the place and suffer deathly consequences.
Carrie, let me ask you this, Carrie. Isn't there something known as a rough ride?
There is.
What is that?
John, a rough ride is a consequence of police not liking people they arrest. It's a consequence of police having a bad day.
Let's come back on that a second. We're running a little bit late because this is interesting because, as I said before, I've covered a lot of these kind of stories in the past. And it's interesting that you guys, that your firm has taken on these kind of cases police, because they arrest you, some of them are like cowboys and assume that you're guilty before you even go to trial. We'll be back with more here on 1-800-LAW-CALL in just a moment. And welcome back to our live legal call-in program, 1-800-LAW-CALL. I'm Frank Luber, along with four members of the firm this evening, Jonathan Shakur, Carrie Staton, Scott Kurlander, and Jim Cardia. Carrie, I didn't mean to interrupt you before, but we were talking about rough rides as far as police officers are concerned when they're taking a suspect away.
Yeah, the concept of a rough ride, Frank, is simply the concept of a police officer intentionally driving the vehicle in an erratic and aggressive manner so as to bounce the prisoner around in the interior fittings of the vehicle and to create injury.
So, I mean, these are unusual cases, though. I mean, for the most part, when police arrest somebody, I would imagine they do try to make sure they're restrained in that wagon.
Certainly. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're not sitting here saying that all police do these things.
No.
Any more than we're saying that all doctors commit malpractice. That would be silly.
Sure. Exactly.
What we're saying is, on occasion, very rare occasion, because we depend on our police to maintain order and protect all of us, for which we are all grateful, including everyone at this table, but every once in a while something happens that shouldn't happen, just like in medicine. And when it does, we're the enforcers. We have to go in and try and right the wrong, and that's what the effort is. It's rare. It happens very unusually. Most police that we know, we depend on and care for, and they do a great job and a great service to all of us.